anyway, the biggest problem that we have here is the homeless sector. And I'm not meaning to point finger, but I tell you right now, Bodega Bay and Santa Cruz, there is no homeless thrown around there now.
Point finger. Why?
I'm telling you, there is none. The 2 months that I, at the time that I spent there, there is no homeless around those facilities.
Okay, but
no, I don't know why. Other than the fact Bodega Bay, I think, is too far from any population.
Do we have a camera?
You're 20 miles.
Richard, you can start the meeting whenever you would like.
Not right over the doors, but you can see the people that are parking.
Okay, we'll call the meeting in order. This is the regular commission meeting for the Port of Brooklyn Harbor Commission, Wednesday, September 21st, 2022. Join me in the pledge of allegiance, please.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Danielle, roll call, please.
Larry?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Sharon?
Here.
Richard?
Here.
Joe is absent.
Are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
Yes. Action item D, boatyard clamshelling, we're going to table. I don't have our quotes in yet. And the the permission to display Bible cart, we're going to table that one as well. And then we're adding action item S, port manager search update.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Any declarations for potential conflict of interest?
No.
Okay, I'll take a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve agenda.
As modified.
As modified.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the modified agenda. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. All right, next up is the approval of the minutes for the special commission meeting on Tuesday, August 9th, special commission meeting on Thursday, August 11th, and the regular commission meeting on Wednesday, August 17th.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for August 9th, 2022, August 11th, 2022, and August 17th, 2022.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Public comment. I have one in front of me. Dan, would you like to speak about the
Sure.
Boat shop lease?
Sure. I'm hoping everything will pick up here. In regards to the action item that you have for the boat shop and moor lease agreement number one, I think it's a grave mistake that this port council would even consider amending his lease and letting him out of that $1,501 or whatever it is a month. That's money that the port has already figured into for their budget. That's a total of $18,000 and $18,012 over the next 12 months, not counting 13 if we really want to get to it. And it sets a bad precedent. If the port is going to start amending leases and let people out of it, well then I want out of the month of mortgage that I still owe on, that I still have coming for my boat down here on the dock. So can I get a refund for that? It's just a bad practice. Says in his letter to you as the port commission that it's only $500 to $600 a month profit. He knew that going in it wasn't going to be a big profit maker. He's still making a profit. I think we should leave him right where he's at and not amend his lease. And that's what I have to think about that.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any other public comments? Or?
I did not receive any.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to management's report, starting with the safety, security, and environmental report.
Port staff reviewed the hazards of using a cell phone while working on the job and ways to be safe. We had four incidences that happened in the month of July. Four aces in the fort came across 250 security issues, bringing the year total to 1,221. A lot of them you can see are unauthorized visitors, so after hours they're showing them off. And then monthly inspections were completed for the stormwater pollution control plan.
Okay, any questions or comments for Daniel? All right, seeing none, move to the Harbor Master report.
RV park, the placement of the submarine monument was completed and ready for their September 10th revealing. The Wi-Fi upgrade for the RV park has arrived and will start being installed during the construction of the front row RV park sites. And a progress payment was made to McLennan for materials, insurance, and bonding. All scheduling is still on track for the first week of October. Occupancy for August was 68%, down 9% from last year. Marina, as we were talking, the bathroom vandalism continues. The staff has now started to search for key fobs and other solutions to help curb the ongoing issue. Jack Aiken was out and met with contractors to look at giving quotes to remove the sediment pile at the haul-out area. I also contacted local contractors to have the current pile removed to allow for the next bit of material to be placed on the ground. I asked a marine certified electrician to come out and check shore power cords in Basin 2 on J-Dock and Q-Dock. J-Dock were found no issues to report. On Q-Dock, there were two boats that showed they were leaking AC amps into the water, and one showed AC and DC amps. Owners were notified to fix the problem, see where the inspections have been, and then see where the inspections for other vessels have been made for the next 2 months. Boat launches, there's 762 boat launches. That's up 46 from last year. Our total for the year on boat launches is 3,123. We did 0 telehandler jobs, 5 travel lift haul-outs. The commercial receiving dock port received all the needed documentation for certification on all the hoists that are in use. The Hallmark dock, one of our guys were weed eating and hit a steel line, and the weed eater actually broke the steel line. So we dug up and replaced the connection and got the water turned back onto them. The commercial retail building, the Bell & Whistle Coffee Shop, reported their hot water was not hot. We had an electrician out. It was found that the thermostat went out and needed to be replaced. Inspections of the boatyard were completed. I took all new pictures just to show comparisons with, and there was no new issues to report on that. Maintenance completed 116 work orders. The crew continues to address landscaping and fish station needs. Staff began ordering fence materials for the RV park project. Both basins were walked by staff and they identified areas that needed to be tightened, the dock bolts. Work orders were made and fixes were completed. We also put 3 new air conditioning and heating units inside our port office. With everything that's in there, especially being in there now, I can't believe they waited that long. It gets so hot in there that something had to be done. The office staff, port receiving submitted a request for data by the University of Oregon in conjunction with Business Oregon. With that data, they will create a profile for each port to advocate for increased funding in Oregon public ports. The workman's compensation audit for 2021-22 was submitted online for SDIS underwriting and review. Our annual renewal for SAM registration was completed. The purpose of the registration is to receive federal assistance awards. An account was created on the Oregon Employment IMATCH skills and created a job listing for the port manager position. Commission and staff worked closely with SDAO to put out a job listing for the port manager. Port received notice of a fraud alert from Rogue Credit Union. We confirmed it was not a port charge and canceled the card. Rogue has requested that a single person must sign and get personal info to get a new credit card. At this time, we will not be getting a replacement from Rogue. Instead, we will be ordering and receiving debit cards from Umpqua Bank. Then last, we got a Ford sent out a safety recall on our two Maverick pickups. The recall states in the event of an engine failure, engine oil, and or fuel vapor leak may accumulate under the hood of your vehicle. It was not a stop driving notice. Appointments were made for the trucks at the Crater Lake Ford for the needed repairs, and those are already, they're done. So we already had them in there, and they're done.
Awesome.
Can you give me some understanding of what this University of Oregon thing is about?
Business Oregon, the new gal there, Courtney, has met this guy, worked with him, and it's a person she's working with to help Business Oregon collect data for future port needs and stuff. It's through University of Oregon and Business Oregon. Mm-hmm. What exactly is going to come out of all of it, I don't know yet. We just collected the data and sent it off to him. Our strategic business plan, projects, upcoming projects, our fix-it list, we sent them all kinds of stuff. So what they're going to do with it all, I don't know yet, but once they compile all the data and get something out, we'll find out what it's going to pertain to.
The reason I ask is Friday I'm going to meet with OVFW as part of another meeting, but one of the things I've been asking both OVFW and NOAA Fisheries to do was to do a better job of documenting the value of the recreational fisheries around the U.S. Most ports right now are valued based on their commercial fisheries. And that's for a lot of reasons, because there's an ex vessel value for those fish as they come off and they're sold and so on. Much more difficult for recreational fishing. But the value of recreational fishing is so huge that I would, my personal interest is making sure that ports are given credit for those fisheries as well. And the reason that's important is because things like dredging and improvements at the federal level are based on those numbers. So I want to make sure we understand what those are. Not that, you know, I'm going to get any response right away. And my previous experience with valuing recreational fishing and hunting is that the numbers are so high, nobody wants to believe them. We've had that, you know, when I worked for the state, we did that several times, and we tried to figure out, so what's a day of mule deer hunting worth? And it's hard to figure because you've got so many parts and pieces, but it's pretty staggering. So, okay. Financial summary.
Okay. End of the month, unrestricted cash and equivalents totaled $428,654. Restricted cash and equivalents totaled $883,677, with a total checking and savings at $1,345,703. August profit and loss, total revenue from all funds was $434,850. Total expenses was $476,768. The net income for August was negative $42,018. Program revenues, beachfront RV park, $73,569. Expenses was $50,179. Net profit of $23,390. Retail revenue was $45,242. Expenditures was $28,988. Net profit of $16,254. The fuel dock, revenues was $132,815. Expenditures $165,610, with a net loss of $32,795. Marinas revenues $64,613. Expenditures $57,046. Net profit of $7,567. Total in your general fund was $316,000. Expenditures was $301,823. And for the total, we had a net profit of $14,416. Any questions?
Travis, this is referring to the marina. You said to the Jack Atkins Medical Contractors to remove the sediment. Where's that?
To remove the sediment that's in front of the culvert that's in the water.
Okay.
That big, huge pile that's sitting there.
As a trouble?
To have that removed, yeah.
Okay, and where's the current pile going, or the new pile going to be?
It's going to go right where that big pile is at, but I already have a contractor lined up to have that pile removed before that dredging starts.
Thank you, sir.
At our expense or for nothing? Do we have to pay him all along?
Oh, we'll be paying for all of it to be hauled off.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if somebody would say, yeah, I'd like that. But
the price we got is a pretty good price that will get the job done real quick and make room for the new one. So hauling it off to somebody else's place and determining how much they can take, and I'm not going down that avenue right now.
We will be able to track those expenditures separately, so if and when we ever get a chance to have the county reimburse us, we'll know how much it is.
This dredging project will be tracked very carefully.
Sort of a tongue-in-cheek facetious statement, but I may.
Just out of curiosity, Travis, that's all filled, for lack of a better way of putting it, sediment. It's coming from the county culvert, so it's nothing that's coming out of our boatyard. So if they have to be concerned about letting it sit there for contaminant, blah, blah, crap.
Nope.
Okay. Right.
All clean material.
Well, we've never tested it, but most likely clean. All right, any further questions or comments about the report? Not, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Motion to approve the report as written.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the or accept the management reports. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. That brings us to information item A, the boat shop and more. Lease amendment number one.
Okay, so we talked about this at our last meeting. Kenny has requested to terminate his lease from the boatyard repair area. In front of you is a lease amendment for more square footage in the boatyard. You can see it on the exhibits and along the boat yard built that shop that he rents, a 30 by 90 area for boat storage.
The way I understand this from the drawing, he's only getting that one strip right in front of the building.
Yep.
And the port will have everything else.
Yeah, he'll have the strip along the building, and then out by the road,
right
out there, 60 by 65 spot for the truck and other equipment that he has.
So any boats that he's servicing are going to have to be lined up on his piece of property there.
Yes. Yep, we're going to move the boats that are currently, the two boats in the Connex box that's behind there, we'll get those moved this week, and then he'll have an opportunity to move all of his stuff to condense it within the area he has.
All right, any comments, questions, concerns?
So it's going to be on the side, where's that sailboat is, and that boat without the props?
Yep.
Okay, and then the little squares off?
Kind of over by the the road and the property that we sold to Harbor Sanitary. We gave them a little bit of room, so we weren't right up against them.
Okay, I get it now.
Is there any kind of penalty for canceling, changing, altering, or any extra fee to them for getting a new, different lease? Does it change their date?
It will change the date of the effectiveness of the lease, of when it changed. His payment date won't change, and with board approval of terminating the lease, there's no fees or consequences, you know, to that in the event of board approval.
What are the potential consequences for not terminating the lease?
he didn't terminate the lease, we don't really have any. Are you talking repercussions to the port? It, from the port standpoint, we continue collecting the money and we don't have to do as much work. So the longer he has the lease, it's better for the port. But in the event that we have to take it back over, that's what we do. As far as the revenue that was brought up earlier, currently right now we don't collect any revenue. We collect the land lease for where those boats are, but that's a pretty low number as, in consideration, I would say, to what the average annual boat, what you would get paid for in a year with those boats being in there. So I think that it would almost be close to a wash as far as the money that we were out versus the money that then we'd be bringing in of collecting the daily fee of the boats being in the boatyard.
One observation that I've made is that, you know, at the beginning when we talked about this lease, we talked about the accountability for making sure that the work that was being done was done within our best management practices, and I'm not sure that occurred.
No.
There is that aspect of it, too, that we will better be able to control the actions that are happening in the boatyard.
I mean, having witnessed that, I didn't know what to expect, but it just didn't look to me like there was a concerted effort to go in there and make sure that happened. And because we are liable for anything that comes off of that, in some ways I feel better about us.
It will be, environmentally, we will be ahead.
Okay. All right.
In your day-to-day workings with Kenny, and they said he's making a profit on it as it is, small as it is. Would it be such a hardship if he continued this that you feel just from your day-to-day interactions that he would go out of business?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what all of his overhead is. I'm not sure what his time's worth with the paperwork, you know, because that's also not included in what he's making is the time and effort he's putting out. So I don't know what else he could be making up for by not doing it. So I it's a really hard one to answer. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to speculate here, but I remember when he originally approached us about this, it was his thought that if he had this lease, people would ask him to do work on their boats. And
yep.
So his profit was based, or his profit speculation was based on that, mm-hmm. And I think that didn't materialize, and he didn't realize those extra profits that he was going to make.
I know he has struggled. The do-it-yourself boatyard that's historically been there is really eye-catching for a lot of people, and there's a lot of boats that prefer to do their own work.
Yeah.
When the commission discussed that it was brought to the commission's attention that he had no skills and no one would allow him to work on their boat, he did not have woodworking, he did not have fiberglass experience, he would have to contract those out. He knew full well what he was getting into. I was at the meeting and I testified to those facts, and you all still accepted his proposal and voted on it to allow him. In my opinion, tough. He sticks with the lease, and at the end of next year, when his lease is renewed, he should then, if he wants to modify it, allow out of it. He went in full well knowing what he was getting. He accepted the liability for that. Granted, the port's ultimately at the end for liability for the runoff into the base, but he knew what he was getting. You, like, again, if you're going to let him out of it, then I want a refund on the month of mortgage that I'm not using.
Okay.
If that's a bad precedent, you're setting precedent.
Well, I haven't set any precedent, nor have I said anything.
I understand you haven't, but if this commission does it, you're setting a bad precedent.
All right. Any further on this?
We've modified other people's leases before, so.
Going up, but not coming down.
So So, anybody care to make a motion?
Motion to approve Boat Shop and More LLC Commercial Lease Amendment Number 1.
Okay, second. I'll second it. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the Boat Shop and More Lease Amendment Number 1. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Oh. Ken?
No.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Action item B, Resolution 2022-08, adopting the best management practices.
Okay, so we talked about the dustless blasting. I did watch a demo on it. It's a very effective tool to use for its application to help boats get the work they need done without the effects of sandblasting. It's a much easier cleanup. So adopting this, we will be able to include it into our best management practices and then update our 1200Z permit for active boatyard activity.
What is the media?
It depends on what kind of surface they're using, but it could be glass, crushed walnuts. I know there's a lot of different other ones, but for wood, they say walnuts. Fiberglass boat, the one I watched was done with glass. It's like 150 pounds of glass to 20 gallons of water that lasts like an hour. So the water that it puts out to keep the dust, the glass down, is not that much water. So it's a very effective tool for these guys to use when they have a lot of paint on their boat that needs to come off versus grinding or sanding.
So this will be in compliance with our 1200Z permit?
Yes.
Okay.
So is that just for boats that we haul out?
There's a Checo Blasting is the one that came to us and wanted to be able to offer services to boats when they come in or something, but when I told them that we didn't allow anything like that, so I watched the demo and we went through this. So this would be just another person that in our do-it-yourself boatyard that you could call to come on site and do work.
Okay.
I mean, it has nothing to do with the port. It's just to allow for this type of operation to happen at our boatyard.
What happens to the material that's being...
It's all put on a, it's all on a tarp and plastic rolled up and it's thrown away.
And it goes in the dump. So Travis, I'm talking about just like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than me do the sanding on my, so I could hire these people and do that here at the port?
Yeah. Yep. You can call them. You can hire them. They can call us. The owner can schedule with us to make sure that your boats, this will have to happen on the concrete where the pressure washing is done, where there is anything that escapes, it's all caught in the concrete and in a sump. So it's kind of a backup that we're using to do it. I've already spoke with them. They have to have sides, you know, they have to comply with not allowing their material to leave the work area as well.
Yeah, because like with mine, it'd be on a trailer where the others are in the sling, so...
Yep, the boat that they came and did, they did it on a trailer.
They did?
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Obviously, there is spots you have to move it, but with some planning and stuff, it's really not difficult. It's just another option that's out there that can come to our port and be utilized.
I like it.
And this is the reason I support amending that lease, because of the enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
That's, to me, that... It's a much bigger picture than the lease itself. It's the permit from DEQ that I'm concerned about because we're hanging precipitously on that as it is. And I want to make sure that if we establish best management practices, we also have a good means of making sure those were complied with. So we had a voluntary effort at that, and it didn't look like it worked, so now I think it's probably better that we do this ourselves.
Right. And plus Travis is personally responsible for us to have that permit for that.
Well, the port is.
I'm responsible for a lot. I'm not going to bring stuff to you that I'm going to get my butt in the point for.
This one has consequences.
Yeah.
For us. I mean,
there's questions.
Is there going to be any, you're going to have an outside vendor come in, and is he going to be charged anything for being able to do this on port property?
No.
Anybody else?
I would presume that he would, yes. Like any other commercial enterprise on port property.
Water.
We won't be charging them. It'd be like if somebody had a welder come in and weld zinc on their boat right in the boatyard, or if they hired somebody to come out and paint their boat. The port doesn't make money off from those people.
No, we don't.
No.
Okay.
To do it yourself boatyard, we get paid for the boat being in the yard and doing the haul out. The means that they use to get their work done is up to them, as long as their contractors and everybody are up to date with our best management practices and obey the rules.
Well, who enforces that? Are you going to be around when it happens, or?
We have bought video cameras. We have cameras that look over the boatyard. I'm in the boatyard, and all of our employees are very aware of what our rules are, and they will be. They have just as much of authority as I do to enforce the rules.
Richard, I know I'm confused on the part about the boats. I know that we get paid for the boat that's going to be in the boatyard, but how do we, for myself, I mean, surely my boat would be in the boatyard. So
right, and we have a per foot per day for the time that you'll be in the boatyard.
Thank you.
It basically boils down to you'll be writing two checks. You're going to write him a check, and you're going to write us a check for the time you're in the yard.
So the way I understand this is basically if you're going to put your boat in the port, you pay for the space you're taking up, any work you have done on it between you and an individual contractor, and everybody's responsible for meeting the best management practice.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
That works for me.
Okay.
Real quick. So this is a private contractor. It's not the port buying.
No, the port's not buying it. It's a private contractor.
Oh, okay.
That has the type of machine. It's just we're just updating it to allow for that kind of activity to happen.
I'd say because there are better systems than the Vessel Splaster out there.
No,
it's dry ice, and there's another media as well that has, other than the dry ice, all you pick up is the paint flakes or rust or whatever, and that's it. It's a lot better because the dry ice dissolves itself in the atmosphere. It's much easier to clean up.
Yeah, that we're not buying this. We're not doing it.
Are you ready to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve draft resolution 2022-08, adopting best management practices to update section 1.2, scraping and sandblasting to include dustless blasting.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yeah. Action item C, boatyard rates.
All right. So boatyard rates, since we will be taking the boatyard back over, I put in here our current boatyard work plan and agreement that each individual will sign. It will also, I didn't put it in here, but every person that gets hauled out gets a copy of our best management practices as well.
Okay.
We're going to have to look, the rates that we don't have and our approved rates right now are yard days, environmental surcharge, service charge, which we've never had before. That would be an addition to something that we haven't had before. Outrigger pole storage, and then the cleanup charge for port labor and material for any messes that are left that the port has to clean up. I put in here boatyard comparison rates for Humboldt, Charleston, Toledo, and Astoria. Current currently the rate that's being used at our boatyard right now is $1.50 per foot per day. And then he also is providing a monthly rate at half that, at 75 cents per foot per day. Our yard days will include, one of the things that is going to help us with our 1200Z permit is replacing the tarps, the visqueen, more often. We've let them go way too long. After each use, they start getting holes in them, and the tarps are really expensive to buy. So I started looking into visqueen, 100-foot rolls of visqueen, as more of a single-use type thing. When that boat comes in, we'll roll it out. When they left, we just roll it up, and it gets thrown away. So I've got the visqueen rolls down for 100 feet to about $80 a roll. I'm thinking I can maybe get them for 70, which will get us through about two boats. So that's, you know, roughly $35, $40 per boat that we're gonna, that needs to be factored into what our costs are for the yard days. The blocks are just things that have to be replaced every so often. The stands, you know, we have to maintain them, grease them, wire wheel them, replace the tops, replace the stands. And then we also, power and water, the supply, 30-amp power, 110, and water to all the available spots that we have out there. And another thing I'm going to include with their yard days down there is a dumpster. We've never had a dumpster. We've always put it on the boat owners to get rid of their garbage. It piles up. People don't do as good of a job. If we just put the dumpster there, they use it. And it's much more effective to let them have a place to put it than not to. So those are all things that we kind of need to consider that we're out, you know, when these boats are coming. The $1.50 per foot per day seems about right to me. I think it's a pretty good number. We before always did $1 per foot per day, but as we all know we struggle in the boatyard to make it, and our environmental things and stuff continue to get worse and more. So the yard days will include tarps, visqueen, block, stands, power, water, and trash. The environmental service charge is what, and they're looking at what other ports do. Charleston adds 10% or 11% to whatever their total bill is. So that is basically to cover for the water testing that needs to happen inside the boatyard.
Even the bus.
Maintaining, you know, the storm drains, having them cleaned out, making sure there's the absorbent socks and stuff are in there. All that goes into the environmental end of it. That would be a new one that we've never had on our rates before. So that 10% would be, 10% is what I would recommend if we were going to go down that road, which would just be an addition to their total bill. Outrigger pole storage, we used to always have it. Never really had a great place for them. We did build new pole racks. They're sitting at our yard right now that we'll put out there. They're much nicer. So if boats come in and they want somewhere to store them other than just throwing them on the ground, $20 per month is what I'm recommending for a price for that.
So you're saying 10% of the total bill would go to environmental services?
To the port.
Yeah.
Right. So what's an average bill for yard storage?
Well, if you take the haul out, a round trip haul out, $600. That includes 1 hour of pressure washing. Yard days at $1 per foot per day if you use, 50-foot boats kind of on the bigger end of it, but roughly $50 a day, $75 a day in the boatyard, so that gets you about a week, be about $1,000. So 10% of that would change a $1,000 bill to $1,100.
So we're adding the 10% on top of it.
Yeah, whatever their total bill is when we do it, it would be 10% if that's what we wanted to help cover our water testing. Each site's $2,500 a year, right? Is that what we pay each site for the four water tests and taking them to Grants Pass and collecting and updating and doing our monitoring reports and everything? So
we're $10,000 a year just to test stormwater runoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four times. That's all the
filters. Well, $2,500 for the boatyard. Or actually, it's more than $10,000. $2,500 for the boatyard. $2,500 for each of our six.
Times
six. Six test sites.
Times six. Okay.
Yeah, we have six total test sites. So that's what we're into. Just for them to sample it. That doesn't include us taking the sample. It doesn't include us driving it to Grants Pass. It doesn't include any of that time. So,
what's the turnaround on that?
On the water testing?
Yeah.
Usually a week.
What does it take to test this water? Why can't we do it?
Because we're testing for multiple things, and we need a certified test lab to produce us with those results.
How's that close?
What?
I'm just asking questions, you know, but because it seems to me that it's not a real big technical problem. I mean, you got to buy equipment, of course. So why not?
Well, we have to buy the equipment, and somebody has to sit there and do it, and the dollar bills just keep turning to do it. I mean, this environmental end of it, you could hire a full-time person to do this all the time.
I don't think we need to dive into that too deep. I mean, it's pretty cost-effective to contract that. What are you recommending for a cleanup charge?
Cleanup charge, we just use our current rate at port labor plus materials.
All right, so as I understand this, your recommendations are that we charge $1.50 per foot per day, 10% environmental service charge, and $20 a month for outrigger cold storage.
Yeah, and I think we've never had a monthly rate, but I think it would be a good thing for us to add.
And how much is that?
$75. I have on here at 75 cents per foot per day for a monthly rate.
So you said a minute ago that it'd be 50 feet, it'd be $50 a day at the current dollar rate. And then you said it'd be $1,000 a week. So in actuality, it would be more than that because it's a buck and a half a day for just...
You wouldn't be able to be out of the water quite as long.
I understand, but I'm saying your bill would go up exponentially in a buck and a half, and then you throw the 10% on it.
Yeah, I'm trying to use pretty roundabout numbers, but at $1.50, the $600 is just a flat rate. Your $1.50 per foot per day, you know, that $75 a day, you know.
$500 a week for that.
Yeah.
So you're $1,100 plus your environmental fees for a week.
Yep.
So make sure I understand. You're encouraging people to leave their boat there a month?
I'm not encouraging it, but at times when boats have major overhauls that they're doing and stuff, that to provide a monthly rate, they're not usually on their boat every day for a month. Usually it's because they have people coming in and out working on it, motors, waiting for motors to get rebuilt or whatever it might be, where the boat sits there longer and isn't necessarily being worked on. So when somebody's out per foot per day and they're out for, you know, a month long, but they've only been working on their boat for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. it allows us to give them a little bit of a break than just saying it's $1.50 per foot per day, whether you're here or not. You know, if you want to drag your feet or anything like that, 75 cents kind of allows you to do that. But 75 cents per foot per day is still gonna add up to be quite a bit.
It's good business.
Yeah. I mean, if these are my recommendations. I'm open.
I'm just trying to grasp the logic. That. I understand what you're saying about needing parts and having to wait. the logic here appears to me that you want to encourage people to get in here and get their work done and get out at about 50 a day. But if they decide not to, their fee is half.
Most of the time, these guys don't pump their boats out of the water that long. Most of the time. But 75 cents per, what is that per month?
But sometimes it's difficult because you can't always get parts. They're not readily available like they used to be either. So a lot of people end up having...
Most of the time, which a lot of them are the commercial fishing end of it, if they come out and they're out for a long time, they're spending a lot of money. They're doing major overhauls. The rest of the time, what I have seen, commercial fishing, they don't want their boats out that long. They want them out, done, and back in. That's just my experience with what they do.
So 40 feet times 75 cents per day is $30 a day times
30 days is $900. $900 a month. So a monthly storage rate for your boat to be sitting in there at $900 a month, it's really, to me.
Thing you got to remember here, President, is that a guy breaks a shaft. And our closest machine shop to do that is Coons and Coos Bay, to do something like that. They may have supply issues for getting the shaft or the key or the couplings and that, and then they're scheduling to be mailed and get it done. That's where you'll find the biggest problems. Like Travis mentioned, you got a boat that's got a blown motor, pull the steel boat, they cut it out, they pull the side out, they pull the motor out, and they're waiting for parts. I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got a wooden boat, the longer that boat's out of the water, the drier it gets, the more it leaks when you put it back in and swell up. So you want that boat back in the water as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm. So and typically, they wait till the last minute to get their boat hauled out because they usually got a fish within a week. So
that's true.
That happens a lot.
I think it sounds fair.
Good
business.
I got to ask one more question. Is this the hull length of the boat or the overall length of the boat that we charge for a haul out?
The haul out is now just a flat fee.
For the
$600 for no matter if it's 20 feet or if it's 70 feet. $600.
Okay, so the hull of the boat or the whole overall length of it? You know why I'm asking this question, because I've got a big bowsprit on my boat.
Oh, when you're in the yard? It's the length of the boat.
So the overall length?
Your overall length of your boat.
Okay, that has to be stipulated in there, though.
Vessel per foot per day.
Okay, gotcha.
You're charged overall length for everything else you do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Okay, let's move on here. Motion. That it, Travis?
Yes.
Okay.
So do you want me to see it in the motion?
Yes.
Of course. I didn't hear what you said, Sharon.
I asked.
The fee will be included in the motion. She asked me if that would be part of it.
Okay. Motion to approve added rates for yard days, environmental fees, pole storage, and cleanup charges as discussed, which is... yard days, vessels per foot per day, $1.50 a foot. Monthly rate, $0.75 per day, per foot, excuse me. And environmental service charges of 10% of the balance. And Outrigger pole storage.
$20
a month.
That's per pole.
And cleanup charge for port labor and materials per hour at the port labor and materials rate.
I'll second that.
Okay, so to be clear, that pole storage includes a set of poles, not per each.
Outrigger pole storage, yeah, it would be.
Outrigger, okay.
All right. And Travis, thank you for including the comparisons that you did.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, we have a motion in a second. Daniel?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. So we've tabled item D. That brings us to item E, EMC Engineer Sciences LLC Agreement Amendment Number 6.
Okay. So this is a an amendment for an additional year with Jack, our with ENC Engineers. They have not increased any rates. The rate sheet is still on here. Everything is still the same. We're just extending it for another year.
This has been reviewed by legal?
Yes, it has.
Okay. Questions, comments?
I think we should retain
them. Page 82,
Larry. Thank you. I got it.
Okay. Anybody care to make a motion?
Motion to approve EMC Engineer/Scientist LLC Professional Agreement Amendment Number 2.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to amend the contract with EMC Engineering. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Brings us to charter boat, charter and guide boat sign installation.
Okay, so we got quotes from three other places. This is for a charter guideboat signs. We have been in contact with Dave Lacey with the Oregon Coast Visitors Association. All the quotes that are included, the front one, the art signs, are the only ones that include installation. They come out, they set them up, they install it. They're on 12-inch pilings. This is the one I'm recommending that we go with for the longevity of how long we're planning on having these signs out here to look and having a strong structure that it's going to be fed on. You'll see in here that I got an email from Dave Lacey, and they have told us they will cover the cost for all three of these signs, which is really nice of them. Really cool.
And that also includes the installation.
It includes the three signs. We went with the smaller of the three signs. The other one is very large. The three of them together installed was $16,786. And we will need to incorporate space for credit logos. There will be two of them, probably 4-inch by 4-inch, who are help funding the sign. We'll work with the designer to figure out where that's going to be put. But if we approve these, I will go ahead and get the signs going. And Dave Lacey said turn the invoice into him, and he will make sure it's paid.
Have you questioned any of the guides or how many people want to put a sign up? And how frequently are they going to pay? Once a year? One time forever?
If one time for as long as your name stays the same or until it needs to be, you know, fixed, or if we look at it and everything's looking pretty ratty, we'll have to do it. With the art sign, their names that go on there is actually like they print it on a sticker and you roll a sticker out. It's not the slide-in plank.
It's just a vinyl.
It's just a vinyl sticker. Then you take a heat gun and you can just peel it right back off.
So, kind of related to this, what kind of compliance have you had from the guides on the permit?
Okay. Okay at best. Currently right now, we're not monitoring it that much. We're not enforcing it that much. We haven't had anybody call to notify us, but we don't currently have anybody out looking for that. But hopefully, once we get a new manager and we free up some bodies, that's something we can start going after and try and monitor a little more.
Yeah, because I see a lot of guys, but they don't have the
sticker. Yeah, it is happening. I don't know how much they're all aware of it yet, but I think as the years progress and we keep getting the word out there and we pick out a boat or two to kind of go after and make a little bit of an example out of, I think we'll get a lot more falling in. But right now, we just don't have the manpower to go after enforcing it.
Okay. Well, I would just point out that the purpose of enforcement is not punishment, it's reinforcement for the people that are doing it. And I'm surprised they're not calling it.
I'm surprised too.
I'm fishing next to a boat that doesn't have all those stickers on you. I'd be on the phone from the boat.
I expect it'll happen more. It's still relatively new. I think we give it some time and our compliance will go up.
Okay. Sorry, I digressed. So, questions on the side? Okay.
What I want to know is if we have 100% participation and fill the sign, will that pay for the installation costs?
There are no costs.
Pardon me?
There are no costs.
Having each of those signs made up is a cost. The sign, we're paying $26,000 or $16,000.
No.
Am I missing?
No.
What am I missing?
Well, what that's going to be reimbursed to us by the Oregon Coast Visitors.
Okay. All right.
They're covering the whole amount, Ken.
Okay. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I do too.
Want to make a motion?
Sure.
Okay.
Motion to approve Art Signs, Inc. to manufacture and install 3 charter and guide boat signs. Signs to include a small 4x4 spot for credit logos.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle.
Larry.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. That brings us to action item G, Dylan Coster delinquent account write-off request.
So this is the motorhome that was left in our launch ramp, caught on fire. It was towed to our parking lot. It was, the owner is nowhere to be found. We tried all the available ways to contact him, and this is to send him to collections for the removal and disposal of the motorhome.
Okay, any questions?
Well, I hope they have a better chance of finding
them
than you did.
Fanny,
you did.
Curiosity. Who towed it to the Fort Cochrane? Do we know that?
It was hauled off the road once it caught on fire and was stalled in the middle of Lower Harbor Road. I think it was at request of the Sheriff's Department to remove it from the road.
Well, I understand that, but who towed it onto the Fort Cochrane? We don't know that.
Remember,
a personal vehicle towed it onto the
A personal vehicle.
They took it up to a vehicle and towed it in.
Trust me, if they want it here, they'll figure out how to get it here.
Maybe we ought to towed it onto the property, but we knew who that was. For there the band of
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Motion.
Motion to approve delinquent account write-off of $1,757.12 for accounts receivable and submit annual
Dylan Costner.
Dylan Costner account amounts of 1757.12 to the board collection agency.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle.
Larry.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. Action item H, Southern Oregon Credit Service request for small claims approval.
So this is for a remaining balance due for moorage on a vessel that didn't remove its boat on time. $291.84 is the principal amount that we're asking to send to collections. It's litigation, to proceed with litigation.
Go to some
Okay, any questions? Comments? Motion. Motion to approve Southern Oregon Credit Services Collection Northwest to proceed with litigation on Dennis Thomas for the remaining debt owed.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion second, Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Sale of port property. So in August, we were informed there was someone interested in buying the port property across the street from the port office. You spoke to legal counsel about this?
Yes, and James is on the phone with us as well. So is what James, so we have a purchase, a purchase agreement that was sent to us from Mr. Whaley. The purchase price is $175,000, what he's offering. He has already wrote us a check for $5,000 of earnest money. So to proceed with this, when I was talking with James, if we decide to go forward with it, is to sign a resolution allowing me to enter into negotiations with Lloyd and create our own purchase agreement and present that to Lloyd and then bring it back to you guys for final approval. Is that right, James?
That's right, Travis, and we did see the purchase agreement that was submitted in connection with the offer from the prospective purchaser, but there are some items that we would want in the purchase agreement to protect the port. So our recommended next steps would be approving the resolution that authorizes Travis to proceed with negotiations, and then once we're lined on terms for a purchase and sale agreement, we would bring that back to the board for their consideration and approval.
Okay.
That's to be written by legal.
So the first question for us is, this is port property, it's public property. Is it in the public's best interest to dispose of this property?
Yes.
To a private owner.
We reduce our maintenance, and it hasn't. We have received no revenue off of it, only expense. So, yeah.
And we have no intent of doing anything with it. We can't find anybody to do anything with it.
What's he going to do with it?
Correct. I just wondered, do you need to put that out to the public that it's for sale?
We have.
Yeah, we carried it with a real estate agent for a long time. And we have one offer, which we declined, because it was a low-ball offer. From my perspective, looking at it, it's going to be a difficult piece of property to develop. It's steep. Without a great deal of excavation, it's going to be hard to make something work out of that.
For
drainage issues. So for us to develop that, I don't know what we would do for it.
And remember, we acquired that in a land swap.
Yeah.
Some years ago, I don't remember exactly when.
I would also think that it's to the board commissioners' interest to know if versus purchasing the property, what's he going to do with it? I mean, listen, the last thing we need is another dispensary. Down here at the harbor. I mean,
that will be up to the property owner in the county.
Well, I would also think that you would have some discrepancy on who you sell to and the reason why you would, what they plan on doing with it, okay?
Well, I mean, certainly we can take a position to be very discriminatory in how we deal with things like this, and I'm not sure that's our place. This is a transaction in good faith between the port and the person who buys it. What they intend to do with it is up to them, and they'll have to meet county zoning and everything else.
Okay. Homeless camp sounds pretty good, right?
Well, no, but we didn't have any say on what's across the street from us to begin with. I mean, we have two buildings that were purchased.
Yeah,
Yeah. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
President Heath, if you don't mind me just commenting, from a statutory standpoint, the board's focus is really tied to the disposal of the property and making a decision that the disposal of the property is in the port's best interest. There's not a statutory obligation for this body to put future restrictions on the future use of the property in this instance.
Amen. Okay. So.
And also, just so it's said, the previous appraisal that we had done with it is in here. On April 4th, 2017, it was valued at $140,000. So the offer from here till now is higher than what it was in 2017. I don't know what the price changes are, but it seems reasonable.
Well, that's our agent in negotiating this. You might have somebody for an opinion.
Okay. I'll be working with James through the whole thing. Right. So if we come across anything that needs to be further explored, we will make sure we contact you guys, we talk about it, and we do it.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me like the order of business is if we approve this resolution, then we give you the authority to negotiate. As guided by counsel. If you can strike a deal, then you bring that back to us for approval, and that's the next stage.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Does that sound right, James?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Real quick, before you jump into that, just a point of clarification. How soon are we closing the acceptance of the new port manager, the new port manager?
Well, that's probably going to now be sometime in February.
Action item S.
Yeah. Okay, the only reason I ask is because if a new port manager is hired prior to this being completed, then you've got to come back. So can the motion be made that Travis and or the new port manager?
No.
No?
We give Travis the authority to do that.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Everybody ready to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve draft resolution 2022-09 authorizing the Harbor Master or his designee to enter into negotiations with Lloyd Whaley Trust dated through January 3, 2014 for the sale of the property between Lower Harbor Road and Shopping Center Avenue, Brookings, Oregon.
Second. Okay, we have a motion for second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Just as this winds down, I just would say personally I'm not much in favor of closing the port property, particularly real estate, but in this case I can't see a good use that we could put this in.
Right.
That would make sense for us.
I guess I'll just note too that I'll be talking to Business Oregon pretty soon to see if there is any options for us to use the revenue on that for future matching funds or projects that might help us not have to go back to them for a loan. Our current agreement requires us to put deposit 80% to IFA, and we've deposited 20% into our reserve fund. But being this such a large dollar amount, we have such the large projects coming, I am going to at least engage in a conversation with them to see if there's any wiggle room with that at all, or if we could swap the contributions for this one asset sale, you know, pay them 20%, us retain 80%. See what and if there is any room for that.
Travis, I think that you're on the right track with that because we do have them on a schedule to be paid by 2030, and we have been doing a very good job with that, so I'm glad you're looking into that. Thank you.
Okay. Closure of all road credit union accounts.
All right, so the port uses road credit union for our credit card. We just had a fraudulent charge on our credit card, so the card was canceled.
due to all that, and our only account really that we use with them is our credit card that's now canceled, our business and savings account, and our business savings account and our business ownership account are basically just accounts that had to be opened to go get a credit card. So we're just going to cancel and close all the accounts with Rogue and just use the debit cards that are used through Umpqua Bank.
This won't affect our ability to get loans in the future from Rogue Credit Union?
No.
Okay.
No.
Has no bearing on?
No, we're just closing an account.
All right. So in deference to Rogue Credit Union, this has been a difficult slog, but it's not their fault. This goes back to the Anti-Terrorism Act. So what this has been, what the federal law is designed to do is to prevent money laundering, which is why they need an individual on the account. So once again, we're kind of caught up in the swirl of all of that. But thanks to Sharon, you did a lot of heavy lifting, and Travis and everybody else,
yeah,
trying to sort through this credit card issue and figure out how we were going to get the bill paid. You know, did a lot of work on it, figured it out, we got it resolved, and appreciate that very much. Okay, we're at the motion.
Motion to close all Port of Brookings Harbor Rogue Credit Union accounts, including business savings account 400003060600, business ownership account 400003060687, and business platinum credit union account 600018952.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Karen?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. And as long as we're on the banking topic, that brings us to the Umpqua Bank account access authorization.
So this is just more paperwork with Gary being gone and me taking over some of the responsibilities. This form is authorizing agents Kim Boom and Travis Webster to revoke authorized agent Gary from all Umpqua bank checking and loan accounts.
Okay, straightforward. Motion
to approve Board President Richard Heath to sign account access authorization form for authorized agents Kim Boom and Travis Webster and to revoke authorized agent Gary Dillinger for all Umpqua Bank checking and loan accounts.
Second.
Danielle, motion second. Go ahead.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. And continuing on with that sort of theme, we're now talking about the local government investment pool, bank authorization agents, and signers. This, again, is to remove Gary primarily.
Yes. But, Sharon, hopefully you want to do some reading for us. Because we do need all of these read.
Exactly. Did you want to explain
what we're doing? Taking Gary off is adding myself and restating what the current commissioners have authorization for.
So I'm assuming that we can make these individual motions and vote on them in mass at one at the end. So we have to do each one individually.
I think as long as there's no hiccups involved with it or anybody disputing anything on here, then you could probably do them all at once.
Okay. We have
just read them all and then we can approve them all at once as long as there's no discrepancies amongst any of these. If there is in between any of these, then we have to do them individually. Right.
And we've done it previously.
Okay, so just clarification for the record, we're going to have a series of 8 motions made, and we will vote on them at the end.
Yes.
Okay.
And each motion will go over what each position has access for,
right,
or authorization for.
So, motion number 1, motion to approve removal of Gary Dillinger as authorized agent for the Port Brookings Harbor LGIP account. Motion 2, motion to approve retaining Joseph Spears, position 1, with authorization for the Port of Brookings Harbor LGIP account, with following permissions, view, access, pool, account information, and open and close pool account. Motion 3, motion to approve retaining Sharon Hartung, position 2, with authorization for Port of Brookings Harbor LGIP account, with permission to view, access, pool account information, add, remove, arc, wire, transfer instructions, open, close, pool accounts, and receive paper statements. Motion 4. Motion to approve retaining Larry Jones, position 3, with authorization for the Port of Brookings Harbor LGIP accounts, with the following permissions, view, access, pool account information, and open and close pool accounts. Motion 5. Motion to approve retaining Richard Heap, position 4, with authorization for the Port of Brookings Harbor LGIP accounts, with the following permissions, view, access, pool account information, add, remove, arc, wire, transfer instructions, open and close pool account. Motion 6. Motion to approve retaining Kenneth Range, position 5, with authorization for the Port of Brookings Harbor LGIP accounts, with the following permissions, view, access, pool account information, and open and close pool account. Motion 7. Motion to approve adding Travis Webster, with authorization for the Port of Brookings Harbor LGIP accounts, with permissions to view, access, pool account information, and initiate transactions, add, removal, arc, wire, transfer instructions, and manage permissions. Motion 8. Motion to approve retaining Kimberly Boone with authorization for the Port of Brookings Harbor LGIP accounts, with permissions to view, access, pool account information, initiate transactions, add, remove, arc, wire, transfer instructions, and manage permissions.
Thank you.
Good job, Sherry. Thanks, Brad.
Second. We have a second. Okay.
Could you read those again?
If you like.
The motion is second, Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. And this brings us to the agreement for disbursement of SLRF funds from Curry County.
Yes. So this is a disbursement of the state and local fiscal recovery funds under the American Rescue Plan Act. Funding must be directly used to directly address a negative economic impact of COVID-19 public health emergency, including funds used for economic or workforce development. So they reference, in the contract, they reference what they call the final rule, which is put out by the U.S. Treasury. Its actual book is 400 some pages long. This is the revised version. Mm-hmm. So with this, I think we should approve the agreement. We should sign the agreement, get the funds, and then discuss different possibilities that the money can be used for, and then come back to a meeting after we discuss kind of with legal to make sure we're within the bounds of this contract before we spend the money. Mm-hmm. We have until 2026, I believe.
In reading this, I saw at least 2 places that I thought we would qualify, one of which is because we're in the tourism business. They discuss loss of revenue due to COVID, which we certainly can document.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was any special training or equipment that we use to respond to COVID. And I know we had some employee training. We had some equipment that was involved in that. And
And a lot of that was paid for. So I kind of need to go back through and figure what our losses. One of them that stood out to me a lot that we have well documented is a revenue loss from the RV park. I don't know exactly how we nailed down an exact number on that, but I think there's definitely some things that happened that we can sit down and talk about for using this money. But I think we should take our time and make sure we're spending that correctly.
We've got good boat loss data. We've got good RV park occupancy data. You can look at the long-term trend and the average, you know, see where it's going, if it's trending up, and then all of a sudden it drops, some of those kind of things. We'll probably
right.
get that. But I think we've got good information to back up what we can do with that time.
Right.
Plus, we had tenants that had deferred payments because of
COVID. Right, well, but we were...
Which would affect our revenue. But
that's another thing we can look back for and see if there was revenue that COVID-related that wasn't reimbursed to us. I think there was a few items that weren't, so...
They've got water and sewer and all kinds of...
There's a lot of different avenues we can go down with it, but I think first let's get the money in our account, and then we'll decide as a group how we want to spend it.
Sounds good.
Okay.
So do we want to add Travis to sign this? Okay. Sure. Motion to approve Curry County Agreement for Disbursement of State and Local Fiscal Recovery Funds, FLFRF, and have Travis Webster sign and notarize the document. Mm-hmm.
Second. Okay, we have a motion. A second, Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
The mobile concession rate, item N.
Okay, so we received a proposal regarding placing a coffee stand on port property. The port does not currently have a mobile concession food truck rate of any kind. So first, this would be our time to decide if it is something we want to continue with. We need to establish a rate before we can move forward with anything else. We will be adding it to our commercial retail rates. I have down here $250 a month. It's open for discussion. I don't know what we really want to charge.
Well, we had talked about, as part of the expansion of the RV park over in the kite field, taking an area and building a site that would have power, water, and sewer to it for mobile concessions, food trucks, primarily, or coffee stand. But we haven't come up with a rate. So... the rate, you know, it's at this point kind of arbitrary. We could base it on RV spaces, which seems to me would be kind of high. So we're kind of shooting in the dark here as to where to start.
Well, I think you're starting with this coffee first, and the other is quite a ways tied to the future because we don't have sewer
right.
or anything over there. So mainly to set this rate so they can function.
And looking at services potentially that we would have to provide, we would probably end up having to provide garbage service. If we had a square box, if you will, over there where the food trucks are, we might provide tables.
Mm-hmm.
We would provide water. They wouldn't be individually metered, would they? So
no.
We would provide electricity. And
the best way for us to do that would be include everything in the total rate for this type of mobile rate. Include everything because we can't sub-meter everything.
Right.
Did you check with any other facilities what they charge?
I did not. If we go, so when we used our numbers for the RV park loan, it was based upon $4,800 a year that each back row site averaged. So that would put our our revenue out in the RV park at a back row site would be $400 a month. So that's the only thing we have to base that's even in a comparison rate to what we have at 615. If you use like our bare ground rate or any of our current rates, it's not enough. We can't give it away at that rate. So that's kind of why we went down the road of let's just do a rate for, in general, just a mobile concession stand. So
what do they pay in rent over here?
The coffee shop? I don't know what their total is. They pay the same, the $1.13, I think, is what their lease is at per square foot. So they're probably $600-$700 a month-ish, somewhere around there. Maybe $8.
Well, part of my thinking on this is that, unlike an RV site, this actually has a benefit for the port to have these services here for our paying customer. So I felt 250 sounded reasonable to me as a place to start.
It could always be changed when situations change.
Well,
and, you know, remember, this is a commercial, this is a business, so they're in it for profit. So we just want, one thing that I don't want to do is set too low of a price that opens up to anyone. You know, I don't really know exactly how to say it, but, you know, when you put a little higher dollar price on it, maybe the quality of service and people coming to our port might be better. My opinion.
Well, I think this is a service that's way overdue, that if you go talk to the RVers, they want a laundromat, they want a coffee shop. And so it's a benefit to the port. $250 sounds like a little too low, but I would like to review it at the end of 6 months, see what they say. Start it out with 250 and review it.
When's our next regular round of rates?
July. Well, that'll be the next effective date for it.
That would give us from whenever they start till July to look at.
It would give us a reference point. And it would also, if they're not doing anything that they expect, it would give them the opportunity to.
Well, we have the RV port construction going on in winter.
Yeah.
And
so.
Yeah, makes sense.
I would make a motion if you're ready.
Go ahead. Question.
I would make a motion to
approve. Larry has a question.
This is for food trucks in general. This is not specific to the coffee one.
No, this is for.
And so this would be, we don't even know where they're going to be set up, or do we?
Yeah, that's coming up next.
Okay. But that's why I asked. This one here is for food trucks in general. This one here stipulates the coffee truck, and it's going to be in a site with full hookups.
Right.
This is just general.
This is in general. So for me to be able to accept a proposal and us put it out there, we have to have a rate, an in general rate that can be applied to anyone that's a coffee shop, if it's a hot dog stand, if it's a...
So all this is a logical progression. If we're going to consider these, then we have to set a fee. So we set the fee, and then we go to the next step, which is people to apply.
And we'll review it in 6 months.
I understand all that. I don't know if I'm looking ahead or the two have me confused, but where are we going to put them? If we put them in RV sites, we're going to lose income from that RV site. So
right.
Is it not kind of pertinent to figure out where we're going to put these trucks?
So the mobile concession, I put in here where full hookups exist. It will have to be where there's water, sewer, and power for them to hook into.
Is that
currently, right now, the only place that we have that exists like that is at the RV park. But in our future plans, we hope to have other places that will have the full hookups. But we can't put a mobile concession place out in our parking lot or something and have them at... I don't think that's the way we want to go for leasing opportunities. We want to provide them as close as we can with all the amenities, as many hookups as we can.
And I understand that. The point I guess I'm getting to is cart and horse, where they go. So we're going to agree to do this for $250 a month, and then we're going to stick them in an RV spot, the next agenda item, and we're going to lose $50 a month, or $50 a day for an RV space.
Once we get to that, I can show you, I can tell you when, how I came to putting them in that position, that place.
I think what he's really concerned about is, now what if we have others come to you? So now where are you going to put them in the
You're
RV
going to start fire? Filling up all these RV spaces?
Well, I can't put them in there because that's going to require a lease, and that will be up to you guys.
Well, Larry, my understanding of most of these places that have these food trucks, number one, they don't just drive in and open their door. They have to make a reservation, and we only allow whatever we decide, one or two. Most places limit it to three or four, depending on the size of their facility. We don't want six or eight of them down there. My thought would be two would be more than adequate. The coffee shop is a little bit different, but that's my thought on it.
Okay.
I mean, this price is just wrote here and up for negotiation. You know, it can be whatever we decided at. Yes, currently the only spots that we have at the port where this will work is at the RV park. So when using those numbers, except for the site that I have picked out, which is not rented, we potentially are out up to $400 per month.
Well, Travis, why do we need to address the mobile concession rate right now? We don't have the space. Table it till we want to come back to it when we are in a position to move forward.
Well,
we can approve the coffee shop now because we have the space and do a test, 6-month test with them.
So is it required that we have it on here to do the lease?
I don't think it's required for us to. James, can you help me out with this? Is it required to enter into a lease for us? Do we have to have an established rate before we can just enter into a lease for, like, a coffee stand?
You know, not a fixed concession rate necessarily. It obviously presents some practical concerns if there are future requests and there's nothing kind of established or in place. But there's not necessarily a legal requirement that requires that rate to be in place before entering a lease with one coffee shop like we have here.
Okay, thank you. So we don't have to. It just sets a better precedent that when we have an established rate that you can go, and if we did have other people saying, like, oh, yes, where full hookups exist, if we have any, this is the rate. Right. And we're not.
And again, I'm looking forward at, oh, and I don't know if I'm out of line or doing something wrong, please someone tell me. But I roughly figured $50 a day for a spot, just the ballpark, pull the figure out. At 30 days, that's $1,500 a month for an RV space. We're going to put a coffee truck in there that's going to pay us $250. We're losing $1,250 a month on that space.
Right. So when I did the math on everything, we average $4,800 per back-end site. For every single site we have that's a back-end, it's $4,800 a month, or a year. The site that that I have proposed for this, we currently have our maintenance shed in it because it's on the sidewalk that cuts over to the kite field. So there's a lot of foot traffic that goes through there, and there's no buffer between the site and the sidewalk. So you're pulling. We've never really rented it out, and historically we've never had it well. And by kind of getting rid of that site, it's going to allow us, hope when we do our expansion of the RV park, that we can create some sort of crosswalk there for the county, so the new guests at the kite field can access the beach without just running across the road. So
Okay, so Travis, we'll just bring this back at a later date.
Do we want to make the motion and approve it, or are we going to table it?
Do
you want to do the rate at that, or do you want to wait?
Well, you guys did, so you guys remember, you don't have to do this rate. This
right.
is just
we
a rate that's put
to,
on
so
paper, but if you want to say...
Bring it back at a later date.
It's going to...
Who's in charge of the meeting now, because we have a question.
I am.
Next.
It's going to affect me creating a lease for the proposal that we have, if I don't have a rate for us to go on.
Can I make a statement?
Yes.
My familiarity with a mobile concession is that it doesn't need water, it doesn't need sewage, it doesn't need electricity. It's all provided. If it's mobile, and you can put it any way you want.
Yes, but there is harbor sanitary rules that we have to be considered of
okay,
setting up. You know, any type of lease business that's within 300 feet of a sewer hookup, it has to be hooked up to sewer. And I know with these mobile concession things, a lot of them run into problems with the health department and being able to keep those going on. The health department things go down dramatically when you have full hookup and you're not moving around or trying
okay,
to find
so
or access a place
then.
To dump their gray water or
right,
their wastewater
right.
at. So having something like our RV park where all the hookups already exist, the SEC fees are already paid for, it is an opportunity for us to use a place over there.
Okay, so I know that the next item is and when you were saying that you don't know how you would make a lease without
a rate.
Set rate, and so couldn't we just put a rate amount that they want to have reviewed in 6 months into that lease?
So I'm just trying to, I'm just walking through this in my head so I understand. So
okay.
go to the proposers and ask them what they propose to pay us
no.
for.
No, like they, like the board has mentioned $250.
Uh-huh.
So, it, and then have it renewed in 6 months. So can't we just put that fee in our motion with the renewal of 6 months?
And then just table this till
okay,
basically rates
mm-hmm.
time. If you guys want to just establish a current rate for the lease to be at right now, yes, yes, you can do that.
So we will move the mobile concession rate to a later date. Table. Okay. Option item O, proposal for coffee stand in RV park.
Okay. So this, Matt and Anna Powers, they're current owners of the Bell & Whistle Coffee Shop. They have wrote a proposal to have a mobile coffee stand set up at the RV park. In that packet, there's pictures of the unit. It will be able to be utilized at behind the RV park restroom and the site that we are currently not leasing or renting, I'm sorry. It has full hookups. And without the fee, I mean, they're asking for us to proceed with the lease. And in that, I guess the motion, if you go with it, is to add a price with it for me to put in with the lease.
Did you discuss fees with them at all?
I had originally spoke to them, I said that I would be starting this based off from our annual revenue off from the back row sites. When I first talked to him, I told him I could see it. I saw it being between $350 and $400 a month.
You thought what?
I told them that I thought it would be between $350 and $400 a month for them, which they didn't say absolutely not. They didn't say it was out of the question. I just told them that was the only thing that I had to put on paper and come up with a number right now.
Well, I think we're going into winter. It's also, we're going into a time and we got RV to tour up, the park tour up. I think a $250 for 6 months would be more than that fair to them, and it would give us a good evaluation and them a time to offer the opportunity to see if it's something they definitely want to pursue.
Can you, first of all, they're going to kill it. All right, how much you guys pay for coffee every day? It's a $5 bill all day long. They'll have $250 in one day, and then they have the rest for 28, 29 days. So it's a great, it's good business. It could be good business for the port, too, if you play it right. Instead of a six-month lease, why don't we go month to month to see how that plays out? So you're not bonded. You don't have another kin on your hand here with one husband's contract. I was just wondering, maybe a month would make more sense at this point, since you have unanswered questions. What the charge?
Personally, I don't like month to month. It's not fair to them in the sense that they've got scheduling, they've got a, you know, inventory to buy and that sort of thing. But
how long is this lease going to be for?
I haven't even talked to them about that.
Because it's not that we would want to stop them from having a longer lease, but we just want to make sure that we have a review in 6 months.
I really think that they are very open and,
sure,
and cooperative with whatever process we decide to take on this.
Okay.
Where we're at right now, I think the $250 a month for give them a six-month lease, and we review it at the end of that 6 months and proceed forward. I mean, it's really a short amount of time for us to establish, kind of see where things are at, and then proceed on. I can see this being something that sticks around in the port for a long time with these rates. So I think 6 months is probably a very acceptable window for us to take a look at what's happening.
Good. So can we get a motion here?
I have one question, please.
Okay.
Part of the lease agreement, is there a part of that going to state that there's no competition? In other words, if another person with some coffee wants to put a place in there, are they going to let it happen?
I do not like no competition leases.
That's what it looks like to me. You know, you're going to establish a business down there,
mm-hmm,
and if it's really successful, there's going to be other people want to put up another place.
And we're going to have to look and see if we can accommodate those requests when those times come.
I just wanted to make aware.
We have plans for future places for these to come once the infrastructure allows. Our infrastructure is limited, but if we have a line of people that want it, then good for us. Good for us, and we'll try and figure out places to put them where it fits into the port.
Okay. Thank you, Travis. Okay. Ken, did you want to make that motion on that and be sure to add those items?
I'll make a motion to approve proposal of a mobile coffee concession stand to be placed in the beachfront RV park in a site with full hookups, and bring back a draft lease for approval at the October regular meeting. The lease will be for $250 per month for a period of 6 months.
Second.
Okay.
Good business plan, guys.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Karen?
Yes. Okay. Action item P, the Miss Stacy update.
This will be completely up to you guys, but we can go over this, but if you guys want to table a motion on this, tell the other commissioners are here, it's up to you guys. This isn't terribly time sensitive, but the Miss Stacy, has been allowed to stay here. We have exhausted a lot of time getting the SBA loan released, allowing them. We have liens on the crab pots. We've sort of exhausted a lot of time and effort to work with them to keep an owner with this boat. The Miss Stacy was a part of one of the boats that were on QDOC that were tested for AC and DC leakage into the water. Both were found on the mistake. I did contact him. He said he would be making repairs. I plan on following up with those at the end of this month to make sure they're done. In that conversation, I asked him about the survey that the board has asked for him to produce for us. He told me that he wouldn't be doing that right now because he can't afford it. He hasn't been fishing, and that he would not be doing it. I told him that I would report his answer to the board and get back to him. His mortgage renewal is on the first of the year. Not a lot of time left. We have worked with him more than what we do with a lot of people, trying to come to a resolution with this boat. I personally don't feel like we should extend the survey date any longer past another mortgage renewal. We have asked. There has never been anything brought up or said to us that they weren't going to be able to do it until I called them. We have allowed plenty of time. I think that they need to adhere to what we have set out for them, a survey, a current condition survey, and all the mortgage requirements turned into us before his next mortgage renewal date. Putting this off for another year, that seems too long. It seems like it's too far out. So recommended motions, I kind of left it blank, but I did jot down an option one. Continue their mortgage without a survey, or terminate their mortgage at the renewal date without a completed survey and needed documentation.
When is their mortgage up?
January 1st is when the renewal date is.
But he hasn't even paid any mortgage, right?
He has paid his mortgage. We did get that from him. We weren't accepting their mortgage. And the time came, it was 6 months went past and nothing had moved. So we figured it best to get paid for the time that they are. We know they're going to be here, and not hit them with two mortgages in a row. But at this point, I think we've worked and we've done a lot with it, and having a current condition survey of that boat,
well,
I don't think
it's... Well, our legal staff has done a lot of work on this. The port has done a lot of work on it. So if they can't come up with a survey date, either before, because I know sometimes surveys are hard to get people down here, but we need to have a survey date from the surveyor that they're coming to do this, or I think that we should renew the mortgage.
How about the liability insurance also?
It does currently have insurance.
But he's had a year, so.
So good.
What do you guys think? I mean,
they need to be current with everything we require.
Out their current mortgage, but not renew a mortgage till they meet the standards we've asked for.
There you go.
I agree. This is one of the boats that we've all talked about. It is in the board's hands. So the reason for the update is from telling me that he wasn't going to give us a survey by the end of that time, which is why we're talking about it now. And I completely agree. We've asked for it. We've asked for it plenty time in advance for this to be able to happen. And I think we should stick with it.
Okay.
So the question, we terminate their mortgage agreement, and what do we do then with the vessel?
So once we terminate it, they have an additional 30 days to remove the vessel. If they decide not to do that, we start the abandonment process, which takes, I think it's 120 days total. And then we just put them through the exact same process as the other boats. Once that time comes up, we remove the boat, whatever it takes for us to get that boat out, and the owners now that we have owners, which we've helped them get ownership of this boat, we know it's theirs, that now we have a responsible party for the boat.
And during that 120 days, if they chose to bring everything current, financial, everything up to date that we asked for, I think we would let them go forward, wouldn't we?
We would bring it back. We would come back and talk about it and discuss all the actions that led up to that to decide if we were going to continue with it.
So they have three months to finish their current mortgage, and then they're going to have another 120 days while we go through all the legal mumbo-jumbo they could actually.
But remember, at that point, after you've been terminated and you don't remove your vessel, you're on a monthly rate, which it's significantly more expensive.
Well, more incentive for them to do so.
Well, and that's what it is. And during that 120 day period, monthly rates still apply.
Right.
So even if on 110 days they get it out, they'll be responsible for the 110 days that they were here.
Ken, are you penciling a motion over there, I hope? Anybody?
I'm sorry, I'm writing a motion. Are we ready for a motion?
Yes, we're ready for a motion.
I recommend their mortgage, that mortgage of the Miss Stacy be terminated unless all requirements for mortgage at the Port of Brookings is met. On what date?
January 1st.
January 1st, 2023.
Does that give you the name?
Yep.
I'll second.
Now, Larry? Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
So now, Travis, I have a question. Hiata and the CJ, what are they? They also had leaking electrical.
Yes, they did. So an isolation transformer is what's been recommended from the electrician to be installed on the boats. I know Bernie on the CJ is already having him install it, and Mike said he was going to be taking care of the problem, and like I said, I'll be following up with all that at the end of this month. I gave him all 30 days to make all the repairs, and then I'll have the electrician come back and retest those boats to make sure that it's taken care of. And if it's not, then we'll proceed forward with getting that done.
Action item Q, Portside RV Park lease termination agreement.
Okay, so Ken, Mr. Burtis at Portside RV sold the property where the Alcazadores is, and they leased a section of small section of parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is terminating the lease agreement that's been month to month with Ken, being that he's not the new owners. And the new owners have came in and talked to me, and I've already done a draft lease and sent that off to them to see if they want to continue leasing that section of parking lot or not.
Great.
What happens if they don't?
It'll be something we have to talk about.
Where that parking area is at?
So being that it's been a lease area, we have other leases that are like that, where there's businesses that are off our property that still lease a small section of our property. It's best for us to go out and try and continue those leases. If they choose not to lease it, then that'll be up to us to how we want to regulate retaining that property back. One thing that I do constantly look at is that we don't typically lease very much for parking. That's important, and that's what it's for. So if they decide not to, like I said, we're going to have to decide what we want to do with that section of property. If we're going to block it off, maybe re-engage with them with a different negotiated price. Maybe they'll come back to us with something different that might be agreeable to us. The problem we're going to run into with this lease is that this lease was started in 2003. CPI increases and stuff was almost non-existent with it. If you use our current rates, they were paying about $250 a month. Our current rate brings it to $1,275. So that's quite a bit of price scale. So I sent them the lease, and I do expect them to probably come back to us with a different type of proposal. So if they come back to us with something different, it'll allow us to be able to agree to that versus change how we do our leases with everyone in general.
All right. So can I have a motion on this?
Motion to approve the lease termination for the Port of Brookings Harbor and Port between the Port of Brookings Harbor and Portside RV Park effective September 30th, 2022.
Second that.
Any more discussion?
Do you have a question?
I have a question about that park. You know, I Travis, if they, you know, I mean, $1,200 a month for just 8-9 parking spots, maybe you can sweeten the deal a little bit. You can get something close to that as far as rent. Maybe you can save all the, well, repave it. Well, they'll, you know, put a, slap a new tar on it and we'll stripe it for you once a year. That might soften the blow a little bit.
It will. I waffled back and forth with this one a lot at how it should be presented. If anybody, if it's anything outside what is standard, what we present to every single person, that request needs to come from them.
Daniel. Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Action item R has been tabled.
Yes. So with those tabled items, Danielle should be trying to get a hold of you guys, but I'm trying to have a special meeting October 4th or 5th. It's in 2 weeks. So we can go, we need to have an executive session on this so we can get some information from our legal counsel, and it should allow me enough time to get in the clamshelling quotes as well so we can move forward with that.
Okay.
We just ran out of time to publish the executive session, so it's better to table it and set it up for a different meeting.
Thank you, Travis. This, you know, contact us. Okay, information item A, SBAO safety and security grant.
Okay, so we added action item S.
Oh,
to this on your.
Wait a minute, what happened to S?
Did you give them?
Oh, I got it. That's right, thank you.
So this is an update for the port manager search. I just got an email from Terry, who is on our phone with us here. They received one resume through Indeed. That's being reviewed, but it is recommended that we put out the recruitment process for at least another week, preferably two, to see if we can solicit some more resumes. So, and then and with that information, I did put in a revised timeline if we add the 2 weeks. We add the 2 weeks, this is what the new timeline will be. With one application, I strongly recommend extending the recruitment.
Okay.
I have a question. Where all is our advertising being done?
I'm going to get you an exact list because I want to know exactly where they all are at too, because I'm not 100% sure.
And then we'll get that on October 4th.
Oh, great. Yes. Let me just put that on there. Where?
And yeah. What you're looking for right now is an extension.
A 2-week extension for the recruitment process, yes.
Why do we want to limit it to 2 weeks?
That's what was recommended from SCAO. I'm sure if we want to open it for a longer period, that's completely up to us. It's just been recommended right now in 2 weeks.
I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but Richard, before he left, he was suggesting that we increase the amount that we would pay, that he thinks that we would get more offers if we raise that amount.
And I agree with that. I think at this point we run what we currently have, where it's currently at, for another 2 weeks. we come back, we talk about it in our special meeting, and if we have got, if nothing further's presented to us to go on, then we should probably stop and have a little conversation about what's all in it, if we want to change, you know, how much longer we want to run it and make changes in 2 weeks.
Okay, so when we have the next special meeting, you'll bring...
I'll bring us another board manager update, sir.
Thank you. Any more discussion?
Well, I guess I want to know where it's being advertised.
If it's just being limited to SGAO's advertising.
SGAO, it's on Indeed. It's on our website.
Is it being advertised with the Association of Ports?
Yeah.
I actually saw it on SGAO's newsletter weekly.
The Association of Ports, we haven't renewed our deal with them, so it's not on there.
I looked at the OPPA website, and it's on there.
OPPA, but not Pacific. You're talking Pacific Ports Association,
mm-hmm.
The one that has all the really big ports, Port of Long Beach,
right.
Port of Guam. You know,
they're
very...
Pacific Ports
Association. So I'll get a list of everywhere where it's posted is and then the listings and where they're at.
Association of Pacific Ports.
Yeah.
And when we were talking to SDAO, I believe you brought that up, Ken, and I thought that they said that they, before I say it's not,
that's why I want to get a list from them to see where it is.
Do we have to be a member of an SDAO?
We might be able to call them and just put it on, but we never renewed. I don't think we renewed our membership to them.
Jane McCarthy
said she would put it on their website. So somebody needs to contact them.
Okay.
And verify whether they will or not, because that's
huge.
That's worldwide, not just... Yeah. Local.
Okay.
And as far as the 2 week extension, I have no problem with that. I would suggest 4, actually.
Okay.
Do
you have a contact number that you can leave with us for
that?
Yeah. Okay.
As a citizen of just kind of observing everything, one, do we really need to replace a port manager's job? Two is, so I'm just spitballing here, Travis has done a great job. Having more responsibility, give them a pay for the responsibility, a pay raise for that responsibility. And instead of providing one job, one port manager, why not, for that price, we can hire 2 employees to do the grants, the hunt, to hold down the port.
Travis is doing a wonderful job, but he has let us know that he does not want that position.
Right, but what you're paying for one person, you can pay 2.
Right.
I think it's currently right now in our best interest to see if we can find a port manager to come in and do the office things, do the things, and let me be back out there. If we go down the road and we do not find somebody, then we will... re-talk about what I can do for the port and what other options we might have.
Thank you, Travis. Okay, so can I get a motion on action item F for the port manager search?
All we're changing is the times, 4 instead of 2.
No, to 2.
We can do it in two or four weeks. It's completely up to you. If we go 4 weeks, I'll just bring back the update at our next.
Okay.
I'll bring it on our next public meeting.
I don't think 2 weeks is enough. I don't need to answer.
Yeah, 4 would be great.
4. Okay.
Motion to approve extending the recruitment timeline for an additional 4 weeks.
Second.
I second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Karen?
Yes.
With, on our special meeting, also, it's a pretty important thing that many of means if we have, I'll bring as much updates as I have.
Okay, so now we have the SBA owned safety and security grant information.
Yeah, this is just an information item. We did apply for the safety and security grant. We kind of talked about it in the office, putting up a new security camera, a four-way camera at our fuel dock that watches our tanks closer to our pumps and the barge basin and the transit dock. That's going to cover the opposite end of what our other cameras aren't catching. The total of it was $5,185. This grant would pay up to 50% of it. So, an easy grant to fill out and put out to see if we can get a little help for that. Is there any questions?
Thank you, Gavin.
Okay. Other things that we put on here, so the next information item B is for events. Kind of giving us an opportunity to discuss things we can approve next year. If there's any...
I think that for us to cover this, it'd be nice if we had a full board.
Okay, well, let's table this and we'll talk about this at the next meeting.
Okay.
And last...
Item C, wastewater treatment plant questions. So
it's, I just wanted, in the where we're at, I just want to give you guys an opportunity to ask any questions that might still be out there. I'm not guaranteeing I'll have them all, but I can definitely get them down and get answers to bring back to you guys.
Yeah, you know, waiting for Jeff to finish with the permitting and contacting. He was going to contact Business Oregon to see if there was any chance of them helping us out.
Or matching funds,
mm-hmm,
if it were. He's still working on that.
Right. So it's kind of early to have my questions answered.
Well, I have some comments.
Go ahead.
I'll just read my comments. It won't take that long.
Okay.
First, communications from the former port manager to this commission were never clear on the wastewater treatment plant. This is my opinion. What he wanted was a port-owned sanitation district that would include wastewater treatment plant for shellfish and fish waste. The commission has voted no on creating a sanitation district, and we are now pursuing a wastewater treatment plant for processing shellfish and fish waste. At the end of July, we had spent in excess of $34,500, plus or minus, with our port engineer. There will be much more. It started with the sewer plant designs and now has moved to shellfish waste only. We know Jack is an excellent engineer, but I must ask, how many wastewater treatment plants of any kind has Jack Aikens designed that are in operation? Based on internet research, there are companies that specialize in wastewater treatment design and construction to DEQ specifications for shellfish and other waste. These companies send their staff to do on-site inspections prior to doing engineered drawings. They design a system that works for both the owner, operator, and DEQ. They train staff in operation and maintenance of the system. They guarantee their work. At this time, Pacific Seafood will be the only user of the wastewater treatment plant. Pacific Seafood has existing wastewater treatment plants and engineers. Why are we trying to reinvent the wheel with what they already know? Cost. The DeFazio bill provides $3.5 million and the port provides 20% match, $700,000. To date, we have lost our port manager over this wastewater treatment design. The cost of replacing our manager will be in the thousands of dollars.
The money currently in excess of $40,000 paid to EMC Engineering will not be reimbursed. Related legal fees for the wastewater treatment plant are unknown to me at this time, but I would guess they probably equal what we have paid Jack. Pacific Seafood is a for-profit company. Pacific Seafood will be the only user of the wastewater treatment plant. Their 60-year lease with the port does not mean that the port taxpayer should give Pacific Seafood the match of $700,000 without a contract prior to any construction that provides reimbursement to the port for the $700,000. We have no knowledge of the operational costs or the life cycle of this type of equipment. Does $4.5 million leave money in special account for future replacement of major repairs or upgrades to meet new DEQ regulations? If we do nothing, when does the money disappear, the DeFazio money disappear? Pacific Seafood does have a current discharge permit from DEQ. It was issued in April of 2022, and it expires in 2025, which I have copies, which I will give each of you. In my opinion, we need a special meeting to form a committee that works with the representative from Pacific Seafood and Harbor Water. The committee will contact wastewater treatment plant companies that are interested in doing on-site inspection and providing a bid for construction. Meet with representative wastewater treatment companies when in Brookings. Jack Aikens to review bids prior to their presentation to the commission. Jack has made it clear that he is an engineer and is not involved in making policy. Select two or three companies to address the commission at a regular meeting. Harbor Master Travis Webster should be at all meetings involving the wastewater treatment plant. The commission sets policy. We need a partnership with Pacific Seafood that benefits our commercial fishing industry and the port taxpayers. This is a one-time opportunity for the port and Pacific Seafoods to be in compliance with DEQ regulations. I have copies of this for each of you if you want.
Okay.
That's my comment.
I would like a copy.
I do believe that Jack is going to be reaching out to companies that build systems, and he's looking into the right system that we need, right, Travis?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ken. Any further comments or questions?
It's kind of our commissioners are having that treatment.
Okay, so I just remind everybody that if there is any changes in direction, changes in how we're going to continue moving through this, we need to, like you said, sit down, we need to talk about it, and motions and action needs to be taken relatively quickly if we are deciding to change course at some point. So just letting you guys know that it's a long time consuming process that in the event that we want to change or do anything as far as engineering wise goes, it would be in our interest to figure that out as soon as possible. In the future, you know, if we want this on an action item or on an agenda, Richard or a commissioner needs to contact me to so we can put it into motion.
I would like to see what Jack has when he comes back to us.
I would like to see it as an action item on our next October meeting.
For?
To discuss what we're going to do. I mean, we're sitting here doing nothing.
Seems like we're moving forward, Ken.
Pardon me?
It seems like we are moving forward. I mean, Jack is looking into permitting, and he's looking into the right plant that for us to bring.
Permitting is already, what's he looking into for permitting?
He has.
We have to get a permit for this plant.
Right.
Okay. To operate, which really a permit.
Which right now he's not going to get without a plan.
We have a plan, and we approved the idea, the concept, the plan of where it's going to go, and that's what over the next few months he's going to be putting this into, turning this stuff into DEQ to start putting together a permit so that we can, first of all, and then second of all, finish our EPA forms to get the forms done. Get all the forms done for the EPA for the funding, we have to have a permit and dialogue with DEQ to show that we're progressing in there. And talking to the DEQ.
All I'm suggesting is there are already companies that do 100% of the design work. Pacific Fisheries has dealt with them. There's other companies, if you want to look on the internet, there's all sorts of companies. They come here, they look at the site, they look at what your need is, and they design a plant. They have been designing plants for one of them for over 100 years in wastewater treatment. Jack, and I'm not questioning Jack's ability as an engineer, I am questioning why we're having Jack do the design work on a wastewater treatment plant when he has no experience in doing wastewater treatment plants that I'm aware of. And if he does, show that to me. Otherwise, I want professionals.
He does, and he has stated to us what previous jobs and stuff he has. Currently, right now, he has a wastewater treatment plant guru, I guess, that's on his, that we are currently, we have invoices, we have paid him, that's helping with
wastewater treatment plant guru going to be here to build this plant and guarantee it and train us.
Between the manufacturers that we have and the manufacturers that we have, it will come with training. Because our design is coming through a specific manufacturer.
So when do we include Pacific Fisheries engineers in the dialogue?
Jack currently is working with them. He's using the information, the studies that they've already done, the mixing zone study that has to be done.
Okay.
He's using the existing information that Pacific Seafood has and the data that they have on hand, so we're not recreating
the information Jack has given us so far is two times he told us that Pacific Fisheries does not have a permit from DEQ. That is obviously wrong. I just gave you the copy of it. Also, the information that he has given us is very, very general. If he's got specific information, then I would like him to come to the October 4th meeting and tell us what it is and why he's qualified and why we're not getting these other companies that are interested in coming here and building a plant.
I do believe that he did tell us that they did have a temporary permit, and it was only because we are in the process of doing the wastewater treatment plant. I remember him saying that here.
Well, he's told us two times in a row, it's in writing, that they do not have a permit.
Ask him, he's right there.
Do you have a copy of it?
So is this current
and active?
Well, yeah.
You're in what you discharge is in violation.
Correct.
It's current, it's active, but it's in violation and can be rescinded.
Correct.
And it's not being rescinded.
They can not renew it in 2025. I do know that.
So it, technically, then it's good until 2025 as is.
2025. And I'm sure that if he said they didn't have it, it was before the April. But anyway, not to get into the discussion on this.
Well, I still have some questions
about
what exactly my direction on this is to go. If we are looking to put out a request for proposals for engineering or an engineering firm to do what we currently are having done, that's going to require board action. I may have to have you guys go together, say this is an action item, this is what I want, and you guys will have to vote on it. So is that what you're looking for to be brought to the table, is to resubmit a request for proposals to see what other engineering firms and companies have to offer us to put us together a wastewater treatment plant?
I want to know what Jack's qualifications are in designing a wastewater treatment plant with or without consultants, and why we're not soliciting other firms that have dealt with wastewater treatment plants for shellfish to come and give us their design information on what they would recommend building.
So maybe, Travis, you can get with Jack and get Kim's questions answered, and that we should have a full board to have a good discussion on this to see where everybody stands on this. Okay.
This
before
is an
we
information.
Go any further, we need to continue.
Sharon, it's an information item. We're not taking any action.
Yeah, we're not. I need to make sure I understand this 110% for what I'm reading back, because I with this has got to get ironed out as far as our proceeding forward.
I thought we were moving forward.
And I want to make sure we're answering all the commissioners' questions and everybody's comfortable moving forward. So qualifications, with or without consultants, and who he is currently using for consulting.
I'm sorry.
You want to know what his qualifications are and who or what consultants he's working with. And I guess that answers my question. Who he's currently using for consultants.
And another question would be, when are we going to discuss a business plan? Which does not concern Jack, but it does definitely concern this wastewater treatment plant. I'm sorry, I've upset you, Cheryl.
You didn't upset me at all.
Okay.
This is a $4.5 million investment, and so far, we don't seem to, in my opinion, don't seem to be taking it that seriously as far as a commission as to the business plan of how we're going to spend this money. I think.
How about your opinion?
Right. And here's mine, is until we know what plant we are buying, how it functions and what it does, how can we possibly put together a business plan for that plant?
I guess we have to disagree on that.
Yeah. That's okay.
Okay. So anything further? Commissioner comments, or have we had this enough?
We just did that.
I think we have done that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next regular meeting date, Wednesday, October 19, 2022 at 2 p.m.
With a special meeting.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I don't exactly know what it is, but I'll get back to you.
Okay. Right. I didn't say it because you said 4-4-6, so.
Yeah.